I first came to Australia, I'm known as Mary everywhere. All my business is Mary, because when I came in 1948, foreign names were not acceptable. So they changed it to Mary. And everyone keeps on saying to me, why do you change? Not that there's anything wrong with Mary. I said, well, in those days, I said, Minka was a foreign name. So, but now I go by both names.
So this is Minka Simmons, mm-hmm. and it's Wednesday, the 16th of September at 10:30 a.m. Mm. Thank you, Minka, very much for having us. So you were telling the story about the attitude to people delivering in Fitzroy.
Now, this was in all in Welsh, as I said, and I wanted to buy this dinner set, and I didn't have enough money, so when I told the woman to deliver it to Gertrude Street, Fitzroy, she said, oh, do you realise POD means pound delivery? I said, oh, would you rather deliver it to my house in Kew? That's, I lived with my parents then. And her whole demeanour changed. And I said, look, on second thought, I said, cancel it. I don't really want to do it. And another very funny episode, I used to stay on the corner of Gertrude and Napier Street, and that was the corner where all the prostitutes did their business. And I'm waiting for the tram, and all of a sudden this police car pulled up, and he said, ma'am, do you mind if we drive you to wherever you want? This is a very bad corner to be waiting. I said, oh, no, I'm used to this area. I live upstairs. And I couldn't get into a police car because opposite there was a Macedonian gambling club. And they were all watching. If I got into a police car, it would be through the whole community. She finally got caught up because they didn't like it that I was so successful in business. And one of them said, you drive a truck. It was a van. I said, yes, that's part of my business. Women shouldn't drive trucks. I was a little bit of a rebel in the Macedonian community. So, lots of... And another really funny one was this drunk walked in. And the shop was wide, really wide door. He walked in, and I had one of those harps, you know, the church harps, where you pull, and he's pulling away. And I said to him, maybe I shouldn't say it honestly. I said, stop playing with my organ. And he said, lady, I never play with ladies' organs. I laughed so hard. I mean, I really put myself in. And he sorted out as dignified as he could and looked at me as if to say, oh. I had so many funny episodes in that shop.
Yeah, the shop Minka. Mm. Was on Gertrude Street.
On the corner of Gertrude and Napier Street.
Yes.
And it was big.
Yes.
As I said in that book, in the old days, we knew all the newcomers used to come to Fitzroy to buy furniture and stuff. We used to sell them for £200 to furnish their whole house. And we'd deliver it. And then the extra service we used to give them, we'd ring the gas and fuel, we'd ring the telephone, we'd arrange all that for them because they couldn't speak. So that was an extra little incentive we used to do for them.
Yes. And we what made you come to Gertrude Street?
Dad originally wanted to do something. He used to buy all this stuff, and Mum said, you either get a shop or just get rid of the stuff, because he was a buyer. So he opened up in Gertrude Street in a little shop, and then this shop, the big one, became available, and all his cronies were all retiring, and he said, no, he said, I'm going to open that. And he borrowed money and opened Fitzroy Auctions in 1964.
And what number is Gertrude
Street? I think it was 314.
Where Dante's was.
Yes. And he said, well, I was working for Myers at that time. He said, you'll have to come and do all my paperwork and all my selling. And with my papa, if he said you did that, and I really resented it, but I did.
Yes.
And I learned everything there is to learn about.
And what year was this?
This was in 1964.
Very early.
Early. And we stayed there for quite a long time until Papa retired. And I and my husband at that time took over the business.
Yes.
And we more or less started improving it, putting antiques in it. And then I started doing antique fairs.
Yes.
Now, it was a really good business,
yes,
and
yes.
In those days, people loved coming out. They could buy anything.
Yes.
Features, bedding, antiques, jewellery.
Yes.
We had a lot.
And they were Macedonian?
Oh, no. All different nationalities. Yes. We went through all the different, like the Macedonians, they were Spanish, and then there were Italians, and then there were Turks. That area, that was their starting point for all the new Australians, because it was close to the city, and they could get cheap rental, very cheap rental in those days. And a lot of them would live in the flats until they gathered a bit of money, and then moved on to Doncaster.
Or Kew.
Or Bulleen. And it was...
Because Johnson's was also a furniture shop.
Well, that was the building. That was the original building.
Oh,
Johnson's. Yeah.
Because I understand that Johnson was further down by
the
original health service.
No, I don't know. We understood that our building was... Because we used to get a lot of furniture with a stamp.
Yes.
And one of the oldest in the area said, he remembers coming there and working, so I don't know, and I can only go by what he said.
So where did you get your stock?
Well, in those days we didn't have to go hunting. All the agents used to ring us up, because we'd just clear the whole house before they'd sell it. They used to be able to get a whole house lot for about £100.
Yes. Yes.
It was anything just to clear it.
Yes.
It was a real big business.
Yes.
Loved
yes.
it.
Yes.
That was my that was my start there, and then I moved on to Clifton Hill in 1987 in Clifton Hill, and I've been in Clifton Hill since then. I bought that building on the corner on Michael and Queen's Parade, and in those days buildings in Clifton Hill, or as I call it, North Fitzroy, were cheap.
Yes.
I had to borrow all the money to buy that building, and I remember the bank manager saying, "You paid that much money for that in Clifton Hill?" I said, "You wait."
Yes.
One day I said, anyway, 10 years later, he came and saw my name, and he said, "Oh, you were clever buying this building." I said, "Not according to you."
Yes.
At that time, I borrowed the money. I was paying 17.5%. Nearly went broke a couple of times.
Interest rates were high then, wasn't
it? Oh, people complain about 6%.
Yes.
In business.
Yeah. It was tough.
17.5%.
Yes.
So,
Minka, you mentioned the Macedonian club across the road.
That's where all the Macedonians congregated to play cards.
Yes.
That Getrude Street and Napier Street was the mecca for the Macedonians. We had our church around the corner. That was the first Macedonian church, and an Anglican priest, Father Elliot, he used to have the St. Luke's in Brunswick Street, St. George's Road. He was a great friend of Dad's. He and went to Canberra, because the Greeks didn't want us to open a Macedonian church. So through him, we got the permission to open to build a church in Young Street. I don't know if it's still there. I don't think so.
No, I think a lot of Young Street was demolished, wasn't it?
It was a big church, and that was the first Macedonian church in Australia.
Yes.
Now there's over 30, all over.
Is that
approximately? Approximately,
yeah.
We used to walk around from Young Street right around Napier Street, and all the other streets at Easter time, carrying the candles.
Yes.
We'd be walking around our area, and the Greeks would be walking around East Melbourne.
Yes.
And it was a really interesting era.
Yes, very much. And, of course, the twain never met.
Well, we did, but look, there was a bit of argy-bargy, but I've got lots of Greek friends, and I say to them, I respect you and I like you, but I'm Macedonian and you're Greek. Let's leave it at that.
Yes.
And the ones that know me,
Do you think there's many Macedonians left here?
Oh, there's still a few, but not as many.
No.
A lot of them moved out to bigger houses in Doncaster. You know, they could buy a big house compared to... But there's still quite a few in McKean Street.
Is there?
Macedonians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not as many as it used to be.
What do you think they were employed?
They were always in factories.
Yes.
They always worked in factories. And my father was about the only one who was in business.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, most of them worked for either factories or in butcher shops.
Yes.
You know, mainly sort of labour work.
Yes. Yes.
He was ahead of his time,
yes.
Popper, mm-hmm. working in antiques. They all thought he was crazy, mm-hmm. lugging all this furniture, but I got that from him.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I still love it.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
So if you could imagine Gertrude Street on either side of that Macedonian club, from Napier Street on, which are the existing buildings now,
mm-hmm.
because they demolished.
I remember when they demolished, there was a big kerfuffle about demolishing all those shops to build all the flats.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, they needed to house people.
Yeah.
They demolished a lot of shops. They could have left shop frontages and built there, but in those days they didn't care.
Mm.
They just demolished things.
Mm.
It was the same at the exhibition building, you know, that where the museum is.
Yes.
That was a beautiful building, and overnight... They pulled it down. That's all right now, but they pulled it overnight to build that. They pulled a very beautiful old building to do that. But they've stopped, thank goodness. They've stopped pulling old buildings down in Fitzroy. I hope they have.
Do you remember an antique shop on the corner of Fitzroy Street and Palmer Street? Maybe you didn't come west of Brunswick Street.
What was the name?
I don't know the name. I'll talk to you afterwards.
I'll probably do, but I don't. I don't recall.
But if we could imagine those shops along Gertrude Street, can you remember the sequence of what was? Was there a Macedonian restaurant next to the men's club?
Yes, there was. There was a beautiful Macedonian. It was practically opposite to, not my shop.
Yes.
There was an auction room on the corner where the Aboriginal...
Yes.
Actually, that building was owned by my sister and brother-in-law. They opened an antique shop. When I took over Fitzroy Auctions, they opened an antique shop there. And there was a Macedonian restaurant practically opposite them, next to that hotel. I can't remember the name of the hotel. Yes. Oh, geez, you've got a better memory than I have.
No, I lived down there.
It was a beautiful food.
Oh, I ate them many times.
Mm, but they closed down. There's not many, I don't know if there are many Macedonian restaurants left. I think I was always told you should open a Macedonian because I cook quite a few Macedonian dishes. I hold a dinner for the last 10 years for Rotary to make money for the Rotary. I cook for about 20-25 people of Macedonian dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually fitted 25 people here last. Was it last year or this year? No, last year. It was in March, and it was 36 degrees, so I had to fit them in here.
Mm.
It was too hot outside.
Mm.
Some of our Rotarians are in their 90s.
Mm.
I had six of them sitting here, and the rest were on the two long trestle tables.
Yes.
I cooked a sit-down meal.
A lot of work.
Yeah, I love it. I love cooking.
Mm.
And I earned them $500 for the day, because I charged people $25. For the meal.
Mm.
No, we're happy to pay.
Oh, I'm sure. We're getting a bargain with a lovely home cooked meal like that.
Mm.
Do you know any Macedonians?
No. The secretary at work, where I used to work, Sefta.
Sefta. I probably know by face, but.
She's, and I think, and her husband works at Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's in administration at Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember her last name.
No, I'll probably know by face, but there were a few, like there was a Macedonian record shop, I think, opposite, in that part near the Macedonian the restaurant. But he went. Well, there were only about, we're counting ours and my brother-in-law's, only about four Macedonian restaurants in the street, and the Macedonian gambling club.
Yes.
That was big.
Legal.
Oh, legal, yeah. They played cards for fun and for coffees. Yeah, but there'd be lots of them there congregating, much to the delight of the wives that got them out of the house.
And the bootmaker?
Oh, he's still there, Tony.
Yes.
His father owned about three of those buildings. And he was in... Oh, I'm sorry, yes, that's another one. That was... He's definitely... Well, they call themselves Macedonian Bulgarian. And his his father originally started that business, but his son did the shoe. And he's around the corner. He still repairs boots and shoes. He used to make special boots for all their rockets. All the rockets from America used to come and have boots made by him specially.
Like Elvis Presley.
I don't know about Elvis. He never came to Australia. Now a lot of the rockers used to turn up there,
right.
And he'd make special. He was his specialty in making these beautiful boots. Mm. Now he just does shoe repairs. Mm. He's very good at it. Mm. He and his wife. They sit in this little garage in the back. She says, "Menko, what can I do?" He doesn't know what to do with himself. So this is a way of keeping him. Busy.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Very good.
Mm. Yeah. And they own those three buildings. Mm. Three-story building.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. The son now runs a computer repair in one of them.
Yes.
Oh, is that the
Yes. Mm. Minka, in the 1960s, Gertrude Street was really a shopping hub of Melbourne, wasn't it?
It was, but it was also had quite a dodgy... bit of a dodgy name. There were a few dodgy people living around there.
Now, you told me the story about the police offering to pick you up before. You might like to...
Well, I always dress well. I always thought, I love dressing up. And I'm standing on the corner of Gertrude and Napier Street waiting for the tram, and all of a sudden this police car pulls up. He says, "Lady, madam, can we give you a lift? It's not safe to be... standing on a corner here." I said, "I'm sorry, but I happen to own this business here, and I live upstairs, so I'm quite happy, thank you." And they wouldn't move until the tram came, and I got onto the tram. There's another really funny story. This elderly woman, she was a pro. She was lovely. I used to always talk to her. She'd be standing on a corner, and she told me she did this business to earn money, to send money to her daughter in Queensland and the daughter had no idea what she was doing. And one day, she used to come and wander in the shop. This little Greek man came, and I was about to sell him a bedroom suite. I went to get the docket book. Next thing I know, he's walking out. I said, "Excuse me, what about the bedroom suite?" He said, "Forget the bedroom suite." He was going off with her. Next day, she's on the corner again, and I said to her, "Excuse me, but you can do your business out on the street, but don't steal my customers from my business. Never come into my shop again." She laughed. She said, "Oh, I got good money out of you." I said, "Yeah, yeah." Yeah, I said, "I know I lost the sale of a bedroom suite."
He found a bed.
Yeah. No, there were a lot of them, and that's business.
They lived in the neighbourhood.
They lived in the neighbourhood. There was another episode. I'm standing in the back, and I could see this chair moving from where I'm sitting in the back, and I ran out, And there's this man walking off with one of my beautiful chairs. So I went and I picked it up and I put it back into the shop. He said, "You caught me this time." I just kept on walking. He lived in one of those three-story. Yeah.
So the three-story houses were used as
boarding houses. And she was very good. She still looks after them. She was very good to them. They did all their paying their bills or taking them to doctors.
Yes.
And they have long-standing. They still have run it as a boarding houses. They have long-standing.
And what's her name?
Can't remember. I'm sorry. The memory's going.
Mine is too.
Tony is her husband's name. It'll come to me. But they're a lovely couple. They've been in the area long time.
I know somebody who's renting one of these.
Now there's a lot of single men.
Yeah, I think it's. I haven't been there, but I think it's like a you have your own little place and share
yes.
kitchen.
Yeah. No, it's interesting.
Yes.
One of the tenants that used to be there, a lot of them were alcoholics, and she always looked a bit. One day she walks into my shop, and she's beautifully dressed, and she said, "I've come to tell you goodbye," she said, "because I've been offered this flat in somewhere in Thornbury by the council," and she said, "I've decided to become, you know, a good citizen." And she was beautifully dressed. I said, "I'm so happy for you." 3 months later, she's back in the area. I said to her, "What happened?" "Oh, it was too hard being prim and proper." She said, "I like your dress fitting much better. It's much more interesting. And people talk to you." Oh, it was so lovely, lovely area. Yeah. I was there quite a long time.
So you didn't only auction furniture or sell furniture to new arrivals, but you gave them an additional service.
Oh, no, we
did. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Well, they used to come in because they couldn't speak English, and they didn't know what to do about putting the applying for electricity, applying for their telephone, and so we would fill it up for them and register it for them for no fee. it was very hard. There was nobody there to help them in those days.
I would imagine they'd be very grateful.
They were. And of course, it helped the business. They used to send all their friends to come and buy because we had really cheap furniture.
And the flats were in the process of being built at that time because the demolition had just occurred.
Yep.
Really?
I was there when they were all up and running. Yeah. The first lot that were there, they were very happy to be there because they were in new buildings.
Yes. Mm. And what made you decide to come to North Fitzroy?
Well, when I broke up with my husband, I decided I needed to find another place. And I heard that that building was up for sale. And I've always loved the Fitzroy, North Fitzroy area. And when I looked at that building, I thought, that's it. And I was successful and I rebuilt part of it and I built it's a beautiful apartment upstairs. I lived there for 15 years. And my mother came to live with me upstairs. And it was a big area with a beautiful garden. Build an extra part for a garden.
Yeah.
A beautiful, huge family room, twice the size of this.
Yeah.
And there was a local, can't remember his name, lead light worker. And I had 14-foot doors, and he said, "I can build you a beautiful lead light there." And I said, but he said, "I think he only charged me for the whole thing, $1,400. It's worth a lot of money." But he said, "I'll only do it for that price if you allow me to bring clients up to see my work," which he did, and he got a lot of business out of it. And it's still there, the lead light. It's beautiful.
So who were your customers in North Fitzroy?
Oh, all nationalities.
Because by this time, you transferred your business across to antiques, haven't you?
It was all antiques, but I never got over buying, if I could. I'm a wheeler dealer. I like chain. I could buy
any furniture.
And most of my furniture was antiques. Yes. Beautiful stuff. It was a beautiful shop. So, and I had a showcase built along one whole wall, three-door showcase. I can't remember who it was. He came and built it into the building, yes. And I housed all my best china and sterling silver into it. No, I had clients from all over.
Yes.
I used to get a lot of interstate people because it was such a vast shop.
So you were actually running the antique shop where Blondie's was?
Yes.
Yes. And do you still have connections to the Macedonian community?
Not so much. No, my sister does. Yes. She still does, but not so much, no. Yes. I did well while my mother was alive. I used to take her to the church in Gertrude Street. Then, of course, then the big one opened in Epping. We used to go there. I still go for Easter at the one in Epping.
Yes.
Just at midnight. Yes. My niece picks me up and my aunt Tina.
Yes.
But Tina still mixes a lot with. No, they come into my shop, a lot of the Macedonians, but I don't really go to many.
No.
My family is my first, my daughter and my grandchildren. And also a Rotary. I do a lot of charity work through a Rotary. Mm. I've been a Rotarian now for about 10 years, and I'm one organising functions and meals for at different people's houses and at different places.
Mm. And you've won an award.
Yeah, for all the charity. Yes. Well, it's a Paul Harris Award. That's the highest honour you can buy. Paul Harris started Rotary, I think, in the 1800s. That's the highest honour you could. I shared it with the real estate agent in Queensbury, Steve Earle, because he's also part of the Rotary group.
Yes.
And it's one of the highest honours you can have. We have the changeover every 6 months, and I had no idea that I was getting this award. And my daughter came with the two boys, and because my son-in-law was working, and I said, "What are you doing here?" Oh, she said, "We were invited to come just to see, you know, what goes on." And I said to the boys, I said, "Aren't you supposed to be somewhere?" Because I never are. "No, we've been picked up by here," and I had no idea. And was wonderful. Very, very proud of that.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Very proud of it.
Yeah. Shall we have a break?
Yes. Sorry. Would you like some?
No, I'm fine. Valeska is the Macedonian.
I probably know by face.
I just didn't know. I thought you might know the last name.
No.
She's about 53.
Well, she's my daughter's.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether she'd know my account, but no, she's more my daughter's. Most of my age groups, they all live in Epping, Green, Dolly. I really don't have that much. They go to their churches in those areas. I don't really have much to do with them. As I said, most of my time is spent with my daughter and grandchildren and my Rotary. And I feed two seniors from the Russell Park home down here every Wednesday. I set up the table here because they don't cook. They love it. And I do Tai Chi down there.
Do they?
I do.
Oh, you do? Where?
At the Russell Park. There's a special hall down there.
Because I've been looking for Tai Chi.
Oh, please come. But she's away at the moment. It's every Monday at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
If you give me your phone number when we go back,
right.
It's wonderful. And she really is a specialist for older, because most of our group is older.
Yeah.
So we do movements to
just help us with our balance, and to help us with our breathing.
Yeah. And
She's terrible at the moment, but she's getting a cut on Friday. I've held off for as long as I can because it's so cold.
Yes.
And she's got no flesh on her. I know, darling. And so I've got to. And when she gets cut, she'll look half the size.
She's so cute.
Oh, she looks dreadful at the moment with all that.
She's nice and warm on my leg.
She's a bit on the smelly side. She's getting.
Well, how are we going, Marion?
Oh,
is there other things we need to know?
I was thinking the people who lived here and worked in the factories. Where? Because there were factories.
Yeah, there were.
Or did they travel further?
There were a lot of factories opposite our shop. Oh, now, what were the factories? There were a lot of clothing factories and a lot of Jewish people. I used to know them by... Actually, Dad knew them more than I did because Papa looked Jewish. He used to always wear a hat, and they loved him because he was a merchant and they were merchants. And he used to take Mum on the Gold Coast every year, and he'd meet up with all these Jewish owners of their factories, and they all used to congregate, but not really mix together. But a lot of the Macedonians work for them.
Yeah. So they lived in Fitzroy. And worked. They weren't travelling further.
Few of them used to. I actually worked in a factory, and there were a lot of Macedonians in Brunswick. It was a bedspread factory. And at first the owner wouldn't employ me because I spoke English. In those days he preferred people that didn't speak English. They could get more work out of them. And I needed a job very, very. So he said, all right, I'll give you a trial. Because I could speak and write English, there were a lot of Macedonians working in this factory, in the bedspread factory. And the main two were two Jewish, Russian Jewish women in the main part, and he put me there, and I also did his office work. But when I arrived there, and I thought, oh, see, the working groups were here. You know, they came to work best. There were no sucking machines to suck the fluff. And you could hardly see people because of the... There were no heating, and there was one toilet for about 20 people. And I said to the women, definitely not staying here. I said to the woman, how can you work under these conditions? Well, we just need the job. So I thought, no, I'm going to fix this. I said to them, you should get an union. They said, oh, no, he told us if we join the union, we'll lose our jobs. I said, tell me who are the main people here. And I found out five of them were the main. And I talked to him and I said, if you join, there's no way he could fire you because you're the linchpins of the place. So I got them secretly to sign, and I went to the union. But I gave him notice. I said, the union is coming in a week's time to inspect the premises. This is what? And I said, I've got five signatures, and I'm not saying who it is, but your place will close down if you fire these five people. So in a week, he put in machines to suck all the fluff, put in heaters, he put a new kitchen, and he put two toilets. I said, you've got happy workers.
Yes.
And then I said, well, and I'm also giving you my resignation, because I couldn't work there. I got a job in Myers. He said, you did all this and you're leaving? I said, no. They were working under appalling. And, of course, the women loved me for doing that for them, but they were too scared to do it one by one.
Yeah.
And I went to work for Myers, and he came and asked for me. He said, I'll give you double the wages if you come back, because he didn't have to employ someone to work in his office. And I taught the two Russian women. We couldn't understand each other, so I said to them, you teach me two Russian words a day and I'll teach you two English words. Within about 3 months, they could speak the basics in English, and I learned a bit of Russian.
Where did you learn your English? Was it before you came?
Oh, not a word. I came at the age of 11 here, and because there was no schooling in the village, the Germans had occupied our village. I hadn't met my father till I came to Australia. He left for a better world in 1938, and of course, war broke out, and we didn't even know he was alive. And after the war, he served in the army here. I think it's in the book. And he brought us over, and I was 11. I went to school I only went for 2.5 years because Dad had a fish and chip shop in Albert Park, and my older sister got married. That's Stella. That's in that photo there. He needed someone to work in the shop. He actually needed someone to look after the baby. They had another daughter born here, and Mum had to work in the shop. So I was made to leave school at the age of 13 to work in the shop and look after my young sister. And I loved school. So I only had 2.5 years of schooling. But within 6 months, being in the shop helped. Because I used to work after school in the shop, peeling potatoes and doing all the kind. I learned English in 6 months.
And it would have helped. I mean, a lot of people migrating would have had both parents speaking.
Oh, Dad, yeah. My father spoke beautifully, and he loved Australia. And the neighbours next door were Australian, and they loved Papa. So they used to teach me about an hour a day schooling after I left school. So I had a good help from the neighbours. But that's all the schooling I've ever had. 2.5 years. So I've worked.
You've done well.
Well, I've worked really hard.
Well, that's fairly typical. Well, I mean, my father only went 2 years.
Well, that was how it was. It didn't stop. In those days, you could. But I know now, I've got an 88-year-old friend that I feed every Wednesday. She said, oh, it's a waste of money sending kids, spending all that money on private tuition. My four did only. I said, listen, Pauline, in those days, I said, I've done well and only had 2.5 years. I said, it's different today. Today, kids need. I said, it's money well spent. I said, I'm not sorry I'm spending it on my two grandsons. I said, it's different. Of course, she's of the old school. She's 88, and her kids have done very well, but things are different. I said, your grandson gets extra. Oh, well, and she sort of changed. No, I think, I believe, nowadays, you really to survive, you need a good education. So.
Yeah, I agree too. Well, Minko, what good works have you done to win the award from Rotary?
Oh, mainly I attend practically every meeting, but mainly it's doing dinners and arranging for at people's places and earning this, and other people are charging. Earning all this money for foundation, and I am also a foundation member where I pay a foundation fee that of all the Rotary groups, all the ones that pay for foundation, that money gets spent all over the world. It's a very big. Mainly, it's more my work to do with doing. Dinners and arranging for different nights where people are going to spend and earning money that way. It's a lot of hard work because I've got to do a lot of ringing. Like 2 weeks ago, we wanted to try a new venue, so I went to the Clifton Hill Hotel, and they charge something like 35 to most of the meals, and our lot can't pay that. So I went and talked to her. I said, you'll get at least 20 people, but it has to be a special. So she did it $20 a head, and for beer and wines, $5 a glass. And it was wonderful. We didn't earn the money from that. That was went to the hotel, but it was very nice. It was lovely, and she was very happy, and my crowd loved it. And I went for Father's Day with my daughter and grandson, and then I realised what the real price was. 35.
Good on you. time.
So that's what my job is, to arrange different functions, and they're all over. They're all over. Oh well, some are. There's one that we do at Altham, and there's one we do at Little River. He's an old Rotarian. He's 90-something. He's not part of the group yet, but he likes to have us there. And we get a bus, and I arrange for everyone to bring a salad or a sweet. And we get a bus there. We have a small bus. And they give us the... Oh, they've got a beautiful place in Little River. And they do provide the barbecue, and we provide all the rest. And we bring our own wine and our own sweets. That's the kind of thing. And we still charge $25, and that goes to the club. So it's a good money earner.
Yeah. No, it's been... Annie, I think, was very social.
Oh, Annie. Annie's fantastic. Yeah. She started the MS. Multiple sclerosis thing, the swimathon.
Oh, she told me about
that. Oh, she, the way it first started, well, I think they only earned about something, about $500. Now it's $280,000 for 2 days. The swimmers get sponsored by body corporates and things. And Annie, when she started it, arranged for Rotarians for 2 days, 24-hour day, to provide coffee and food for them, and we provide the food for the swimmers, and they pay a small fee, but the swimmers got it for free, so we provided all the food.
And it's for 24 hours. It's a lot of food.
2 days.
2 days.
And she's, we had different Rotarians would take different shifts. She started it all with a woman called Cook. She what was her first name? She also won
the award.
Was a multiple sclerosis. That's how Annie started it. And she was in a bad way, but she fought it. And she was in the last Olympic Games in the Paralympians. She won a medal.
Terrific.
And she was in her 50s and won a medal for rowing. So Rotary is a fantastic foundation. They really do so much good work.
How many
have been
going in Fitzroy?
In Fitzroy, we just had our 45 or 48th anniversary. There's a lot of clubs who are a lot older.
Yeah,
but now it's been going a long time. We only have about 30 members in Fitzroy, but for the small club, when the big chiefs come visiting, the governors, they said, you're a small club, but you do... At the moment, we're sponsoring a young boy from Germany. We sponsor him with another Rotary group, and different Rotarians have him at the boys at the moment is with our present president. She's a single woman. She lives in North Fitzroy. She has a little house in Woodside Street, and she's got him part time. He's 15 years old, and I had him here for dinner one night because she's got no children, and I thought it'd be good for my grandsons to meet. And he speaks beautiful English, and he's going to be there tonight to meet all these other people. So they do quite a
It's a lovely story about, you know, how supportive it seemed to be with everybody here. Yeah.
It is. Rotary is fantastic. I'm so happy because I've always been really working hard in business, making money, and I thought it was about time I gave some back, and I love it.
And I was reminded you were talking about the awful working conditions. I had a job interviewing women how their lives were affected during the Second World War, and I was reminded with your story of one woman telling me that she had a job in a factory and the boss thought he was so good because he allowed them a few minutes to stamp their feet to warm up before they
I know. And you know, well, our boss used to time the women how many times they'd go to the toilet. So I thought, I'll fix you, mate. What I found out, he had a problem with his
prostate
works. And he used to actually tell them, you can't go to the toilet more than so many times. And I thought, you know, when you've got a period, I thought, how could you? So I thought, I'll fix you. And one day in front of everyone, Mr. Izzy, that's the fourth time you've gone to the toilet. That's not acceptable. I didn't care, see, I wasn't going to stay. He went bright red. Stop telling women that he couldn't. And they all thought that was wonderful because none of them had the courage to tell.
Oh, they must have really loved you.
Oh, they did. They did. They, because, as I said, I could afford to be cheesy like that because I knew I wasn't going to stay there. But they couldn't afford to because that job was very important to them. They were actually supporting families. So they had to abide by the rules.
Yeah, they had no choice.
No choice, none at all.
Did you get an insight into the clothing manufacturing, the Jewish industry?
Not very much, no. Dad was more into all those. Not very much, no. I had worked for one factory. I've done a few jobs, but I only lasted a day because, you know, those gold skirts, I was supposed to sew those gourds and they all came out wrong. And so that's it.
Oh, so it wasn't your choice? I thought you all maybe didn't like it and you only
no,
liked it.
No, it wasn't my choice. They said, don't try me out. And I said, no.
Well, and also, we hear a lot about people making their own sausages and things. What the ingredients for Macedonian food? Did you have to grow them in your garden, or you know, were they readily available? Or?
I didn't do it, but my dad used to make his own wine. Oh God, he was a cheeky one. He used to make his own wine and his own grappa. He used to live in Doncaster at that time, and it was illegal. But he was only doing it for himself in the garage. He made up a still. And then he said to me, don't tell anyone, because he said, this is illegal. I said, Papa, I don't have to tell anyone. I could smell it just lots of it. And he quickly dismantled it because one of the Italians was caught and he was fine because he was making it to sell. Papa was only making it for himself, but it's just still illegal.
Yeah.
No, he had his own vegetable garden. He used to make his own sausages and he used to grow everything. Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't into that. Mm-hmm. I was just business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My thing was really buying and selling. Mm-hmm. Loved that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Did you go out into country Victoria to buy?
I used to go everywhere. I used to go to overseas too.
Yes.
I used to go to England,
yes,
to all the markets.
Yes.
My daughter was living in London for 13 years, so I used to take the opportunity to go to all the markets and bring all the stuff back with me. And here in Victoria, I used to go to Ballarat with my ex-husband, and we'd go there early in the morning, load up the van, and then come back and had to unload, and we'd be working from 6 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock the next morning because we couldn't afford to leave it in the van. So it was hard work.
Yes, very.
And now we used to attend all the country auctions, yes, picking up stuff.
Yes.
Really hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't... We'd have a lot of people coming to us selling their stuff, but I was in a big way that there wasn't enough, so we'd go out to all the country auctions.
And there was always plenty of stuff to buy.
Oh, there was lots of stuff. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
There was never a short supply of stuff.
Yeah.
And there was an auction room on the next corner before my brother-in-law opened it, some antique shops. That was an auction room. Can't think, remember the name. That's in the 60s. There was another funny episode. Apparently someone stole this vase from that auction room,
and supposedly sold it to me. And this woman came with the police. She said, that vase in the window belonged to her. So the detectives went to pick up the vase. I mean, I bought it and I had it in my book. And she said, green was my mother's favourite. And next thing I know, the detectives are going and putting the vase back. She said, what are you doing? Well, this is not green, this is blue. Exactly the same style of vase, but she was colourblind.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very
good. So I was clear. Oh, had lots of stolen goods offered to me while I was in the shop. This man came one day with a trolley, and it was full of china, and I thought, no, not buying anything from you. And the police were actually outside watching and waiting to see if I'd buy it. And I took one look at him, and I thought, no. And they came and said, this man said he bought all this china from you. I said, no, he didn't. I said, he offered to sell it to me. I said, come on, you know very well, you saw him walk in. And I said, I wouldn't put china in a trolley like that. I said, wrap it piece by piece. They were trying to get him with me, so they were trying to implicate me to get to catch him. It didn't work.
Was there a big presence of the police?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there was. I bought a truckload of stuff. It was all done. I always did it legitimate. I always put it in the book, and I always got them to sign for the license. And I bought this house lot of stuff, and I thought, gee, that's good stuff, and it's cheap. I thought, no, I'm a bit worried about it, so I rang the Fitzroy police. I said, I bought all this furniture from a house in I think it was Young Street or somewhere, Napier Street. And I said, it's good furniture, and I'd like you to come to tell me if it's okay. Nobody turned up. Nobody. Then 2 weeks later, the police turned up. They said, I believe such and such furniture. And I had asked that policeman for his name, the one I reported to. Luckily, I did. He said, there was a house in Fitzroy. They had tenants, and while the people were away, and all their furniture was sold, apparently, to you. I said, yes, and it's in the book. I said, but I was a bit dubious about it. I rang the police. Well, he said, if you were a bit worried, why did you buy it? I said, listen, I'm here to buy and sell. I said, I did the right thing, rang the police, and I said, there's the name of the police officer. Just as well, I did. I said, that I reported it to. I don't know, I said, whether you wrote it down. Anyway, I heard nothing more about it. That would have been insured, but if I hadn't got his name, I would have been... It was hard work. There were a lot of dodgy people trying to sell you stolen goods.
Had to be on your toes.
You had to. But
and the police always had their offices there beside the town hall, didn't they?
They did. And they patrolled Gertrude Street quite a bit because there was a lot of...
To and fro.
It's a very interesting street. Very, very interesting. I think it was one of the most interesting streets of the lot.
Because the Builders Arms back then was when I did the walk along Gertrude Street with the Currie, and it was a popular spot for the most, Aborigines.
Yeah, and the most one with a really dodgy name, it was renowned, of course, now it's in the past. Yeah. Renowned had a bad name. But, of course, then later on it was taken by someone and they cleaned up their act. Yeah. It was much better. There were a lot of hotels, a lot of...
Plus the alcohol laws changed.
Yes.
Was Rose Chong operating?
Pipan? Yes. I used to sell to get people that... I had a trunk with... what was her name? That famous actress... I bought this trunk of materials from an auction room and I noticed the name Lily Langtry.
Oh, really?
And I thought, I'll sell the materials. I mean, I bought it for the trunk, and I sell quite a. She's got no fleas. It's
that's all right. No, that's all right. I've got a friend with who scratches a lot.
I know.
She's desperate for me to throw this thing. Like I say, I start.
And I sold quite a lot of the materials to
Rose.
To Rose.
Yeah.
She had a good business going there. Is she still there?
You are now.
Yeah, I've sold over the years. I've sold a lot of material.